There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio and noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Draft Eve. Tomorrow at this time is draft day. We've got a lot to talk about. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac, it's a very exciting time on the phone. Working sources last night. Several mock drafts I won't present to America. I presented to myself. I am dizzy with draft fever. I have to go home and hydrate. Draft fever.
Wow.
Very exciting. And your Mavs won last night.
It's a good night for us. 5-1 with the picks.
Yeah, who's bragging?
We're bragging. We get hammered when we're wrong. Brag when you're right.
Thank you.
Yes. So I saw a story this morning. Peyton Manning says the Broncos are very interested in J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, draft again tomorrow. So I would say about every... maybe every third draft, not every draft, but about every third draft, second draft, there is a star quarterback, going to be a first-round quarterback, and I just don't get it. I mean, I have my favorites, ones I like, don't necessarily like as much, but there'll be guys I don't get. I don't get it. Tebow, Johnny Manziel, Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson. I just didn't get it. I was right in all of them. Don't confuse that with Baker Mayfield. I said that's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Still think he's one of the 20th best quarterbacks on the planet. I thought he was a bit immature. I didn't think he was ready to be a number one pick. I didn't think he was that talented. I thought it was a reach. Daniel Jones, I didn't buy it all. Baker's got talent. He wouldn't have been a guy I would have drafted number one, but he got talent. Don't confuse it with that. So my quarterback this year, that's a star, and I don't get it, is J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. I think he's Mitch Trubisky with a better college coach. He's mobile. He's a nice kid. But his ball dies. His ball dies. He misses easy stuff, misses too many layups. And unless his feet are pointed in the right direction and he is set and he's got time and he can look down his receiver, he's not that accurate consistently. I just don't see it. And again, what I just described, protection, your feet are set, you've got everything ready to deliver. You've got space. That's Michigan. That's not the NFL. In Michigan, you had perfect protection. The kid got sacked like almost never. I think he got sacked like in 13, 14 games. He got sacked like 17 times once a game. He played with a lead. He had a run game. That is not the NFL. What are you when stuff implodes? When you have to throw moving left? When you have to constantly avoid. Even Drew Brees, who didn't have the big arm and wasn't hyper-athletic, or Brady, constantly moving within the pocket, constantly having to throw when you're uncomfortable in a muddy pocket. That's not Michigan. McCarthy's not that big. His arm is pretty average. The Ringer's Ben Solak on J.J. McCarthy, Ringer Bill Simmons thing, he said there are some real red flags on his profile. He said, I found his accuracy to the outside really wanting, especially to the left. His velocity starts to tail off. It's very Trubisky. That's what I see. It's very Trubisky, which is worrisome, and his mechanics start to crumble as well. The red flags don't preclude JJ from NFL success. They make him seem a little scheme specific. And I've said this. I think he works in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, and a great left tackle. I think he can work in Michigan, but I don't think he's a top five guy ever, and I see a lot of Trubisky. He is my I don't see it quarterback. I'll say it right now. I like Caleb and Jalen Daniels. I get the traits of Drake May. I think Bo Nix works if he gets Sean Payton. I think Penix can work if he gets Mike McDaniel, or maybe that Seattle situation where this college OC is now the Seahawks OC. But the JJ one, boy, it's got to land perfect to work, in my opinion. Jordan Palmer, who does this for a living, he's worked with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow. His thoughts on JJ McCarthy as a prospect.
Before each game at Michigan, when, you know, Harbaugh's hitting his pads and all that stuff in pregame, there was an understanding that they were going to rush for 250 yards that day. Had we seen games where they asked him to throw it 40 times and he just completed half of them and threw two picks, then that'd be different. That never happened. And so, unfortunately, when you're drafting anybody at the top, you have to make assumptions because we don't have, we can't see how they were in the NFL, different than in free agency. We can literally look at how you stack up against NFL defenses. We can't do that in the draft. That's why it's an imperfect science.
Yeah. I think Jordan has the same concerns I do. I talked to an NFL scout last night. He's my, I don't quite see it. Not saying it can't work, but it would all have to line up perfectly to work to any degree. That's my opinion on J.J. McCarthy. So this story is kind of shocking to me. The Patriots have the third pick. They are willing to move it. And the story this morning, they have not received a serious offer for the third pick. So remember the quarterback position. It's never been, let's start our entire discussion with this. It's never been a more quarterback important, quarterback centric league, quarterback crucial league. Now more than ever. Can't build around a run game. Quarterback has never been more important. And if you get the right one, Mahomes, Brady, they change a franchise. If you get a really, really great one, Lamar Jackson, he's worth up to 11 points a game. J.J. Watt, at his height as the best defensive player in the league, was worth less than a point. Brady, 19 years as a starter in New England. This is when, initially, it was a run league more than a pass league, 17 playoffs. Mahomes, 6 years as a starter, 6 AFC championships. There's no comparable position. I grew up with Walter Payton and Barry Sanders, to my eyes, the two best running backs I've ever seen in the entire league. In 23 total years, they made the playoffs in a run league less than half the time. And yet I still think at least half the coaches in this league, overwhelmingly the defensive coaches, don't get the value of quarterback. They don't get it. They show no urgency. They just don't get it. It's like water. It's free medicine. If you have a headache, they tell you, drink water. After a race or during a race, what do they tell you? Hydrate. Water. I've had doctors say, first thing they ask, are you drinking enough water? Yet as a society, all we do is pound caffeine, which dehydrates us. We drink alcohol, which dehydrates us. Literally professional athletes, during games, after games, what do coaches say as they get on the plane? Hydrate, water, hydrate, Gatorade, water, hydrate, free medicine. Most Americans don't drink enough. And I look at the NFL and I think this is why a third of the coaches get fired every league. Maybe they deserve to be fired. The Patriots haven't received a serious offer. A third of this league is awful at quarterback. Half of this league is just not good enough at quarterback. And there's six great ones on the planet. And I believe the two best quarterbacks are Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Many like Jaden over Caleb. I saw another story today Another scout said he's deeply concerned about the personality of Caleb. I'm not. He is. He's not the only scout. So if Jaden isn't selected second, you could get the best quarterback in this class, according to about a third of the scouts. The best quarterback. If Washington decided to take Drake May. Now, there's others that think Drake May has the best traits of all of them. He's taller, he's bigger, he's heavier than Caleb or Jaden Daniels. So getting to the number three, I mean, and we know this to be true, that, I mean, let's look at where the best quarterbacks in the NFL have fell to. Who was the best quarterback in last year's class? It wasn't the number one quarterback. It was the second quarterback taken, C.J. Stroud. Lamar Jackson was the fifth quarterback taken. Josh Allen was the third quarterback taken. Tom Brady was like eighth. Patrick Mahomes was second. So that third pick by New England, in a league where quarterbacks never been more important, where the best defensive player will be worth less than half a point, in a quarterback-centric league, nobody has called him about the third pick. And again, I will double down and triple down on this. Because there is great disagreement on Drake May and Jaden Daniels, you could be getting the second-best quarterback in this draft, and there are a handful of scouts. If Jaden Daniels dropped to three, you'd be getting the best. And recent history shows you the best quarterback in the draft is not the first one taken. Lamar was the fifth. Mahomes the second. Allen the third. C.J. Stroud the second. I mean, I feel bad when people lose their jobs, but there's a reason a third or a quarter of the NFL coaches every year lose their job. New England hasn't received a serious call on this? Are you kidding me? It's the only position. I mean, I have friends who have coached in the NFL, and they acknowledge, yeah, we couldn't get the quarterback right. So I went to college. I just couldn't get the quarterback right. Those are the smart guys. Those are the guys I feel bad for. But, I mean, never forget, a third of this league right now has a bad quarterback, and half has a quarterback that's not good enough. It's nuts to me. It's the only position worth over a point. And again, Lamar Jackson, if you go to games he's played with the Ravens and games he's missed, it's 11 points. Vegas thought Aaron Rodgers in his prime was worth 10.5 points. The average NFL game's decided by four. What are we doing here? Somebody call New England. They want to take the call. They want to make a move. All right, J-Mac. I'll get to Luca here in a second.
Hold on. I got to ask. So the Patriots' depth chart at quarterback is Jacoby Brissett, Bailey Zappi, Nathan Rourke. Do the Patriots need a quarterback?
Or the Patriots are deciding what we need more than anything is like eight starters, and the only way to get them is moving down. And you can subscribe to that theory that we're better off just getting a roster. There's two things they have to do. Get a quarterback and get a roster. If you get a quarterback with a bad roster, it increases failure. If you get a great roster and then get a quarterback, it increases the potential, albeit a year later, of success. So I think you can make an argument both ways. Roster first, quarterback second. If New England scouts are like, we love Caleb and we love Jaden, and by three they're like, now they may not make that move until after the second pick. It could be circumstantial. But we know now, this is not the 70s, 80s, 90s, or even 15 years ago. There is one position you got to get right. And then nobody gets fired. Andy Reid could be looking for another job if Mahomes doesn't land there. And he's arguably the best coach of my lifetime. And Belichick was fired when he lost a quarterback. We considered the best coach of our lifetime. So you can get the coach right. Andy was let go in Philly. Belichick crumbled in New England. You have to get one position in the whole franchise right. Did you see this week who got extensions? Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM. Brett Veach. Andy Reid, the president. Do you know why they all got extensions? Not because of the owner, because of the quarterback.
So the Vikings called the Patriots, and the Patriots, you know, hey, we're good at quarterback. Would you like to come up and get one? Vikings like, wait, we need a quarterback. So do you. Why don't you want Drake May or J.J. McCarthy? What do you know that we don't know? Why would the Vikings trade up?
Well, the Vikings trade up if they believe, and there are indicators that they may believe, that Drake May is going to fall to three, and they believe Drake May has the best traits in the draft, although he's not the most refined yet. There are those that I have talked to that believe just Jaden Daniels' personality and talent is the best quarterback. Not many, but some. there are more than a few. I talked to one last night who think Drake May's got the best traits. Size, movement, arm. He got the best of them. But he's just unrefined. To that I argued, so was Josh Mahomes, Jordan Love. There's an argument to be made. Unrefined, but great traits is the guy you want to get.
So is it possible that the Vikings don't want to show their hand who they like, and they're waiting to see what happens at two? Because I know you think Washington's taking Daniels. The gambling odds say that. We've seen a lot of mock drafts say that. I don't know. I wonder if the Vikings are like, we don't know who's going to, so we're not going to trade up if the guy we want goes second.
No, I think that's very possible. My gut is, this is what I think. Chicago's in on Caleb. Washington's taking Jaden Daniels. And the Patriots don't think Drake May, with their current roster, has a shot. Minnesota thinks he needs a year of development. So I think Minnesota likes Drake May, and they're just going to wait and see who Washington takes. So I think if Minnesota makes a move, that could be the team that moves. But the truth is, they haven't taken a serious call yet. A third of this league is a garbage quarterback.
I think it's because Washington's such a mystery at two. The league is doing a great job this year of not telling people who's going second. Colin, let's be real. Nobody knows what Washington's doing at two. They have not had any leaks at all.
No, there's no leaks, but people inside the league know what Washington's doing.
I like that I'm on Drake and you're on Jaden.
Well, if I know what Washington's doing, and I believe I've been told, I'm not alone. I do not believe me, 3,500 miles from Washington, has sources that nobody else has.
Did they tell you that for a reason, your sources? Let's get Cowherd on the
My J&D. Sources, their names might as well be Iron and Clad.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
A lot of guys can score the basketball, high school, college, AAU, G League, and pros. To be a truly great player, generally in the history of the league, truly great, an all-timer, you have to be elite offensively and at least commit defensively. Tim Duncan did. Kobe did. Kareem did. MJ did. Tim Duncan did. They committed both sides of the floor. Steph Curry's a willing defender, but he's not a dynamic athlete. He's thin, can get pushed around, but he makes the effort. Luka, so far in the league before this year, was just an offensive player. It's why I've often compared him to Carmelo Anthony, who never really committed to defense his entire career. Carmelo chose not to be a great defender because all the skills he had that made him a great offensive player, length, size, quickness, could have been used defensively. D. Wade didn't have the size, the length of Carmelo Anthony. D. Wade chose to be a great defensive player and a productive offensive player. It's a choice. And for the first time in his career, Luka has made a choice to play defense. And he's been very good this year. Last night against the Clippers, Mavs won, tied the series up. Luka was exceptional. He held people he guarded to 25% shooting. And he didn't guard stiffs. He was out there guarding Paul George and Kawhi. And he held them to 25% shooting. He should be a good defender. He's big. He's thick. He's powerful. He's long. He moves well for his size. There's no reason he's not a very good defender. I'm not asking him to be Ben Wallace, Tim Duncan. I'm not asking him to be MJ. He's not that twitchy. But he should be a good defensive player. And offense is about skill. Defense is about commitment and trying. And it's why I won't give a break to James Harden or Carmelo Anthony. They chose, despite their athletic prowess, to not commit to the other side of the floor. And it's why I don't consider them truly great. And they've never been great in April, May, and June.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You see Caitlin Clark sign that big contract with Nike? Are people okay with that?
Why would they not be?
Well, people are...
I know some of the WNBA players are chirping and unhappy that they don't have...
Have you ever said to yourself in the off season of the WNBA, oh, I want to watch the WNBA next year? This is the first time in my life I've thought, oh, I'm going to watch. I want to watch the WNBA. I want to see what she plays like.
But I think every single game she's in is going to be televised, which is smart. I'll definitely check it out. Yeah, we'll be going to the Caitlin Clark game out here in L.A.
Absolutely.
When she visits.
I've never in my life before thought about the WNBA out of season.
That's the Caitlin Clark factor. As much as people want to say there's other girls, yeah, there are. They're nice, but it's all about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I mean, Nike does this for a living. Nike literally for a living tries to find people. The deal's actually very favorable to Nike. She made almost as much at Iowa on her NIL. She signed a 8-year, $28 million, $3.5 million per year. She was making $3 million at Iowa.
Is that official?
That's what the story is. I mean, I don't follow Iowa NIL women's basketball.
But that's just with Nike. She's also going to have.
Yeah, but I'm saying Nike. So, and that was just NIL for Iowa. So Caitlin Clark, Nike, Caitlin Clark, I bet you, is renegotiating this deal after a year. Nothing against the agent, but she's making basically NIL money at Iowa. She literally outsold the entire Dallas Cowboys roster.
Well, a jersey's different from a sneaker, right? Are people going to buy Caitlin Clark's sneakers?
That's a very good point.
I mean, I'll wear a Caitlin Clark jersey. I don't care. My daughter's going to get one. Like, it's fine. I mean, they're all sold out everywhere.
But now you're talking about sneakers.
That's a little different.
No, you're right. Those are like $150 or something.
Well, it depends. I mean, you know. Shaq was not moving sneakers. We know that, you know? It's sneaker sales are totally different. The jersey sales.
Have you ever bought a sneaker due to an athlete?
I'm so embarrassed to admit this. I tried the Carmelo Anthony's after he got traded to the Knicks. Terrible shoes. That was it. One and done. I wear Damian Lillard's now. I feel like they're the most comfortable.
But did you buy them because of Dame, or you just bought them?
Well, I cycle through, and I'm a high top guy, not a low top. I can't wear low tops because of my ankles.
Yeah, same.
I know. Okay.
So you went and bought a Carmelo Anthony shoe.
This is back in the day when I was in New York, and I was like, oh, you know, geeked for Carmelo. But they just weren't comfortable. Couldn't play in them. By the way, you can't play in Michael Jordan sneakers. You cannot. They're just style cool sneakers. Can't play basketball in them. Terrible, terrible basketball sneakers. Everyone will back me up on that. You know, once Wes puts this online.
So Michael's shoes aren't built to be worn as athletic shoes. They're
like a Chanel bag for women. You know, you're signaling to people, hey, I can afford Jordans. What up? Hey.
I never heard that before. Is that true?
Pretty much. I mean, maybe someone will check me on that after this, but yeah.
It's like a Chanel bag. It's a status symbol.
Exactly.
Jordan shoe is I had no idea.
You like that, huh?
Well, I mean, to be the best seller for 25 years in shoes, and it's a status symbol.
Cool.
All right. I've never had a Jordan shoe in my whole life. I got a Yao Ming shoe.
Those will not send you free sneakers.
I've never had a Yao Ming. Somebody sent me a Derrick Rose shoe once.
How were they?
No sole. Joke. I kid because I care. No, I just, it did. I don't, that's not my thing. I'm not move to buy things based necessarily on superstar athletes. There are people that will, I will buy products based on an endorsement by somebody I trust, but I'm not like a tennis shoe guy, first. And secondly, pro athletes don't move me to buy stuff, because I think pro athletes will just take the money and never care.
What about Agassi when he was a tennis player? I played tennis, and I was a young guy. I was like, I need the Agassi. You know,
okay,
like,
but that again, that's status.
Right.
But I think athletes will always, I mean, Shaq's on 50 commercials. Shaq would do insurance, whoever pays him the most, and I don't begrudge Shaq for doing that, but athletes don't move me to products because they're just going to take the most money. But there's been an actor or there's been somebody that said, hey, this is really good. And I've thought, oh, I'm going to try that because they have good taste. It's almost like when I watch a movie based on usually the director and the top actor. I mean, Ed Norton, Don Cheadle are not in bad movies. Yeah. Tom Hanks is not in a lot of bad movies. Meryl Streep's not in bad movies. The guy who did Oppenheim. He's not in a lot of bad. He doesn't. Mike Nichols, historically, there were directors that I'm like, oh, he doesn't do. He knows scripts, so I will follow. I don't care about the producer. I will follow the director and the lead, the protagonist, the star of the movie. I'll follow them. Sometimes I'll look at the writers, but it's the same with athletes. Will just take the money. Yeah. But there are people out there that endorse things, and I'm like, okay, I'll buy that.
I saw the Napoleon movie with Joaquin Phoenix. Are you a fan? Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
He's amazing. And I heard people say, oh, the movie's not that great. Yeah. The movie's awesome. Napoleon, the new one, it just came out.
So he got you into a theater.
I mean, all of his movies are good. Joaquin Phoenix is really at the top of his game. Top five actor in Hollywood right now. Has to be. No?
Doesn't move me.
Really?
Yeah, I like Christopher Bale.
Yeah.
I think Christian Bale, I think. I haven't seen him in a movie in over a year. Christian Bale, I think, to me, is the best actor in the world currently right now. But that doesn't mean I can't move. But I've always had guys like Cheadle and Ed Norton, and Michael Keaton is a guy that doesn't make bad movies.
Right. That's your guy.
Michael Keaton's always in good movies.
Yeah.
So if Michael's in it, then I know that he wouldn't, you know, he's rich. He doesn't need the money. Anyway, just rambling here. This started with Caitlin Clark, who probably does need some of the money and got it from Nike, but I think Nike got a good deal. Live in L.A., it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Rachel Nichols is joining us on the show again. Last time I had you on the show, I had more people stop me. My friends said, get Rachel on the show more. So that's what we do, Rachel. We listen to our audience.
I appreciate that. And the checks are in the mail, people.
All right.
Everybody who contributed there. Thank you.
So I was not only wrong on Phoenix in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'm going to end up in the Western Conference Finals. Big whiff. I was wrong in the postseason. I picked them over Minnesota.
Mm.
And I watched this series, and I got to be honest, Rachel, I don't see a ton of energy. Kevin Durant's scoring. Booker's cooked. Are you surprised? Are people in the league surprised by this?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I was the opposite of you and got a ton of criticism from the people out in the world of, why don't you believe in the Suns? They've got some of the best shooters in the league. They do. They just don't have the rest of the roster.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. The way this roster is constructed, it's not fair to those stars because they don't have the rest of the team around them that, say, Minnesota has. Minnesota is a team.
Yeah.
If you looked at Ant, he got a ton of defensive attention last night, wasn't able to score in Game 2 the way he did in Game 1.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns got in foul trouble, wasn't able to score the way he did in Game 1. Guess what? Jaden McDaniels steps up. Mike Conley steps up. That's a team. Rudy Gobert is there on defense, defensive player of the year. The Suns don't have that. The way this roster is constructed, it is so top-heavy. And even within that, there's no true point guard. There's no ball handler. There's no one getting these guys the ball where they need it to be. That is not a recipe for success. They're going to be limited going forward. And now we're going to face questions this offseason. I mean, look, by the way, I think Phoenix can win a game or two in this series. I don't think they're winning four of the next five.
Yeah, you could tell in Game 1, it's interesting because they beat the T-Wolves in three matchups regular season by double digits. But regular season is different. You play, I mean, I think we all know this, defense has become much more important in the playoffs. They're calling it marginal contact. The whistles are drying up. These are defensive teams are flourishing. The Knicks are flourishing. Philly's better offense. Knicks are better defense. Cleveland's a good defensive team. Orlando's a good defensive team. So, you know, we've talked about Kevin Durant is, and I think a lot of it, it's international soccer and the NBA are very star driven. And Ronaldo can move around and you just go get the money and we all say,
that's fine.
You go get yours.
Yeah.
In the NFL, like if Mahomes left to the Jets, because he had a friend who played wide receiver.
Right. We'd be much more disturbed by that.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But in basketball, like, go get yours. I mean, a lot of mobility. But there is something about KD is that he left in the penthouse of the league for a remodel and a reboot, and neither has worked. Does it affect his legacy?
Look, I think the mistake, there's an argument that Kevin never should have left Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't care what people outside noise were saying, right? It's a great team. It was one of the greatest teams of all time. Let's see what you could do. Let's maximize that to its full potential. That was a disappointment. If you're just a true basketball fan, getting to see how far they could have gotten if they had stayed together would have been really cool. I feel the same way about Shaq and Kobe. I would have loved to have seen them stay together. If he was going to leave, why didn't he go to the Knicks, man? And I know everyone in New York, you're very happy now. I get it. But can you imagine Kevin Durant, if he went to Madison Square Garden and they were still able to build the quality of team around him that they have built now with that kind of good management, he'd be a hero. I mean, his entire legacy would be different. The way people thought of him would be different. He'd never buy another meal again in New York City or possibly around the country.
That was what's interesting. He not only left the Warriors, but he went to New York's second brand. And it's like, that's like going to the Mets over the Yankees and you have a choice. If you're Garrett Cole and they both offer you, you go to the Yankees.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, everyone in that fan base was starving for a big star. Remember, they couldn't get LeBron. They couldn't get so-and-so. They couldn't get so-and-so. If he came, the victory parade just from him signing would have been tremendous. Well, and then what if he got them to a conference finals? What if he got them to an NBA finals? Forget a championship. People would have been just ballistically happy.
We were talking, J-Mac and I, Rachel, talked about this the other day. There is something that is profound. I remember when I first fell in love with the NBA in the 70s and 80s, and part of the attraction, I'm a small town rural kid was Diane Cannon, Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. That's where stars were at. Yes. I'd never seen stars at sporting events.
Right.
And you're like, oh, stars, they're pretty good. I'm watching the Knicks games. There is no question they feel bigger. I got guys from The Sopranos. I got Ben Stiller. Got Justin Bateman.
Yes.
It matters. It feels the league. It feels big. And that's what's interesting with Kevin. It's one thing to leave the great team. If Mahomes ever left, you know, he would go to a great coach. Hey, I want to go with Sean Payton.
Yes.
I want to go with Sean McVay. Like Stafford's like, I'm going to go find the guy. It's a weird move, and it has not worked out. So Milwaukee, Indiana, this could be problems from the beginning. Giannis is hurt. Indiana's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's old. You kind of feel if Giannis is there, the NBA swallowed the whistles. They'll figure it out. But where are we inside that organization? So let's say Giannis comes back. Is it game three, they think?
First of all, nobody has projected when he's going to come back. The update was from Doc Rivers. He's closer. Well, closer could mean a lot of things, right? I mean, I'm closer to being 80 years old. I'm not near it yet, though. So I just think we don't know. And I have to say, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. And I'm not inside the Bucks organization. I would be whatever is more conservative than conservative about bringing Giannis back. We have seen calf strains precede Achilles injuries more than once.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant went through it. And when he did, he missed the entire next year and the playoffs the following year. And by the way, yes, he has come back. He's not quite the player he was. He's pretty close, which is very, very impressive. But he has a totally different shooting style and body type than Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a completely different player. Giannis, at his size, with the way he plays, if he had to recover from an Achilles tear, that's a very, very troubling scenario. And if I'm the Bucks, this first round series, as disappointing as it is, would not be worth it to me to rush him back in any way or even do the averages. I would be on the conservative side of conservative with him. And if that's the case, gosh, it looks like the Pacers would win this series because the real key for the Bucks was going to be as efficient as possible. Make your shots so that the Pacers, who are younger and more athletic, can't just start running around in transition, right? Because they're faster. And when you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a two-time MVP with his skill set, not there, when you don't have him drawing double teams off Damian Lillard, when you don't have those easy buckets he can get inside, you're just giving the Pacers transition opportunities. And they did a 23-4 run the other day in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
So there's always been this feeling that when LeBron came to your franchise, you sacrificed everything to win now.
Yes.
And that used to reward you with final appearances. It was a lock in sports. Nick Saban would win the SEC. LeBron would get to the finals.
Yes.
Two locks in sports. Okay, and then LeBron now guarantees you're interesting, but he doesn't guarantee anything in the playoffs, especially in the much deeper West. Mm-hmm. And so when I suggested, I didn't think it was a hot take. I said, you know, they match up really well with OKC, and they're not built to win the championship anyway. My concern is when they lose to Denver again in four, the repercussions of losing. He'll want Darvin Ham out. D'Lo will be gone. He'll have questions about Austin Reeves. That they're not constructed to beat Denver. They're constructed to match up with him.
Yeah.
But LeBron has to literally play 40 minutes and play brilliant, and the team has to play perfect to win. And so now we are, a couple of weeks after that take, right where we thought we would be.
Yep.
You're down, love two. You probably win a game, maybe.
So.
But what are the repercussions? LeBron's business is here.
Yeah.
But now his son could get drafted, could go elsewhere, little less loyalty. Is there any possibility or discussion? By the way, a story leaked yesterday. Did you notice this story leaked? Darvin Ham will be back. That was the Lakers ensuring everybody knew. Don't blame the coach.
Right.
We're not moving off the coach. You know, stuff gets out when people want it out.
Yes.
Is this a border skirmish? Is this, if they get swept, how do you feel about that?
Look, I'm with you. I think the Lakers win at least one game. Maybe they win two games.
Yeah.
But they're not winning, again, four of the next five. They're not winning this series.
Yeah.
And they really were never set up to win the series, to your point. And it's funny. We used to call in the East when LeBron made it to eight finals in a row.
Yeah.
I used to say, oh, it's the LeBron James Invitational. It's not the NBA Finals.
Right.
It's the LeBron James Invitational. That brick wall that LeBron put up in the Eastern Conference for all those years, that is what Nikola Jokic is starting to build in the West.
Yeah.
And it is possible that no other team while he is in his prime, and that Denver team is constructed the way it is, and he and the partnership that he has with Jamal Murray and the chemistry they have toward the end of games with the entire team, it's possible no one's going to break through the brick wall that they're starting to build there. But they're definitely not doing it with this roster. I don't think it's just LeBron that's having some questions about the way the organization runs. Anthony Davis came out after the game and said, there are times we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor.
I heard that.
You're around the, 90th game of the season between the season and the play-in and the in-season tournament and whatever. You got to know what you're doing on both ends of the floor. And by the way, you're playing a team in Denver that knows exactly what they're doing at every moment they're on the court. And that is a coaching thing. And it's not the first time that AD has said something like that, which seems like a sideswipe at Darvin Ham.
Yeah.
I don't blame Darvin Ham as much as Laker Nation does. Laker Nation is never happy with the coach. But I do think that you have to listen to the signals you're getting from the locker room. And you're getting some pretty loud signals from Anthony Davis.
And they immediately leak a story that Darvin Ham is safe. So it feels like there's tension building. The series is only two games old. The New York story's fascinating.
Oh, love it.
It's just great. And I know a lot of people watch this show. You guys talk about the big markets, but it should be noted the NFL is run by a team in Kansas City.
Yes.
We love Storrs, Connecticut, and UConn.
Yes.
There's plenty of smaller market success stories. The NBA is better when New York is good. It's just big. I was talking to a friend a couple of days ago during the game. I'm like, I don't even remember a series like this. New York has one star. He's not playing well.
Right.
The other star is missing. You're playing a team with two stars, one who's considered a superstar, the other's an emerging star, and New York's clearly late in games the better team.
Yeah.
It's contagious. You become a Knicks fan watching. The question being, if we don't view them as a championship team, they're not Boston or Denver. They're not. They don't have those scoring options.
They don't feel like they're there yet.
That's right. There is you can see they're overachieving at this point. You know the organization. They've been really rarely patient in 20 years, but they have been for 2 years. Like, really about Tibbs, Jalen, growth, like, really well run. The Knicks are a well run franchise. They are going to make a move.
Yeah, no question. You look at what they're going to do. And by the way, they already kind of made a move by bringing in OG Anunoby.
Yes.
And he's not guaranteed to stay there. But his agent is the son of Leon Rose. So Leon Rose or Tibbs? It's Leon Rose, I think, is his son.
And he would be a great three to me. He's a great three in a potential championship team.
And by the way, Jalen Brunson is the son, right, of former Nick. So he had the inside track on that. And Leon, I believe, is his godfather. So the idea that they knew the pieces to plug in, Leon is so connected, right, and that the team has been so well run since he came in, since he brought Tibbs
in. How long has he been there?
A few years, as you point out. And by the way, I thought there was really interesting that The Athletic put out a survey, a player survey, right? And for the third year in a row, Tibbs was voted the coach you'd least like to play for. And I'm sure that's a reference to all the minutes he plays guys, right? And the perception he runs guys into the ground. Guess what? The guys on that New York team play for Tibbs in a way that you don't see in a lot of franchises around the NBA.
And Rachel, it is a fairly young team.
Mm-hmm.
He's not asking a lot of old. Now, there's Jalen is not an old player, but it's got kind of a Villanova feel. And these are young legs.
Yeah. I mean, it's literal Villanova feel because some of the guys came from there.
Right.
And the idea that, yes, they built a team with young legs on purpose. He knows who his coach is. He knows his coach is going to run those guys ragged, and he's built a team that can withstand that, and they play aggressively, they play with heart, they play for each other. That's what you're seeing at the end of these games in New York, and the crowd feeds into it. I do expect things to be a little bit different in Philadelphia, but I also expect this series to somewhat go as Joel Embiid goes. There was a point in the fourth quarter where he's running up the court, and he actually hopped on one leg because he just couldn't put weight on his other knee in the way that he wanted to. He doesn't have lift on a lot of his jump shots. And I think that when you see that, even though you heard him after the game say, we're the better team, we're still going to win this series, it is hard to envision him being back to 100% while this series is still going on.
Yeah, there are teams. It really is funny. We say this all the time. I feel bad for sports fans who have bad owners. Washington for years.
Yes.
You're trapped as a Commander fan.
Absolutely.
Now you have new ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Al Davis at the end. Yep. You felt trapped. And there's not much to get out of that in the NFL except if you hit a transcendent quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks, for years, I mean, James Dolan still owns it, but the front office was impatient. There was pressure. There is no question, if you watch the Knicks the last 2 to 3 years, you're like, oh, this is a well-run franchise.
Yeah. Dolan finally got to the point where he did what he said he was going to do for the 10 years prior, which was let the basketball people do the basketball things.
Is that part of that because he was building the severe and his role
maybe
got very
got bigger?
Big?
I mean, he told the New York Times, I don't even like owning a basketball team that much. I mean, it was pretty amazing. But maybe it was the right combination of him having failed enough times to finally learn his lesson and Leon coming around and being available and being someone who wanted to run the team and having just such great authority with his former life as an agent and having such great player relationships and understanding how the game works. But it's all come together. And as you said, they still have room. They still have the assets to add someone. And that's what's going to be really fun. And by the way, the Lakers are going to have the assets to add someone this summer, too.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see another shift. But with the Knicks, as long as it goes, the fact that they're facing an injured, beat-up Sixers team with Joel Embiid hurt, Tyrese Maxey sick, et cetera. And then if they advance, and Philadelphia still
Jalen
has something
Brunson
to say about that.
Played well yet.
Right. But if New York advances, they're facing either a young, not that experienced Pacers team or a Milwaukee team with a possibly shaky Giannis. So it's an interesting path. You can certainly see a path for it's possible to get to New York to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is not what you would have expected with Julius Randle out.
And over the next 5 years, with sort of low juice, Denver, OKC, Minnesota, many of the very good teams, Orlando, or smaller markets, it feels like the Knicks are really big.
Yeah.
The league needs the Knicks. You'll have the Celtics.
Yeah.
But Denver's kind of the San Antonio Spurs. Low wattage in terms of high profile. Great construct. Yeah. Love watching them. Totally respect them. But it feels like there's this opening for the Knicks. And they're impossible to watch and not like.
And also, it's time. I know if you're a small market fan, I understand that feeling of, man, the Lakers get everyone every year, that kind of thing. The Knicks have had nothing good happen in so long.
Yeah.
You can't feel like, man, the Knicks always get everything. No, the Knicks are scrappy. They haven't gotten everything in a very long time. It's fun to see this run.
It was so perfect that the game-winning play was a loose ball on the floor. That was so Knicks. That in a nutshell, is the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a glamorous three.
Nope.
It was just balls on the floor, scrum, rugby, go get it. Knicks came out of it. DiVincenzo, two threes, hits the second. Great seeing you as always, Rachel Nichols.
Thank you. If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.